I trust you have your Bible. Philippians, if you would please. The book of Philippians, chapter number 4, book of Philippians. We'll be reading from Philippians chapter 4, beginning verse 4 in just a few moments. If you'd like to find your place in 1 Timothy, just a few pages away, chapter number 6, we'll be there after a while as well. Book of Philippians, chapter number 4. And I'm going to begin in verse number 4 this morning and read down almost to the end, verse number 20. Well, the privileges we have is we can preach with authority. The only way we can preach with authority is realizing that the authority is God through His Word. And so now we're going to look at, thus saith the Lord. This is the authority. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were all so careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again into my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank You that we have the privilege and opportunity to read of Your Holy Scripture. I pray, O God, today that You would work in our hearts. I pray that You teach us. Spirit of God, that You would move amongst us. O God, today, draw us near to You. Help us understand that that be the only real, true place that we as Your people ought to dwell. Bless, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. Thank you for your reverence to the Word of God. I wish this morning that this message really did not apply to anybody in this room. I wish this morning that you and I had already had a handle upon what I believe God wants me to deal with. I want you to notice with me verse number 11, which is the crux of our text. It says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be what? content. I want us to talk about and think about this morning, learning contentment. Learning contentment, a great lesson if we learn it. How we need that. The Christian, I believe, is to be one that is without anxiety and worry. However, as I speak this morning, I fear that my voice comes upon ears that have within a mind that has worried this week. Been anxious about something. I fear that we all are probably in that classification. In verse number 6, he says, be careful for nothing. Basically, he's saying, don't worry about anything. And yet we find ourselves as God's people far too often in the position of anxiety. In the book of Psalms, chapter 37, one of my favorite chapters in the Word of God, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. In that psalm, we find several commands. Within this verse, we find two. One, rest in the Lord, and fret not. When we're resting in Him, I find that worry has been laid aside. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Again, I believe that as the Apostle Paul spoke to the Philippians, that is something we must learn. It is not something that is innate within us. Now, I realize this morning that we have responsibilities. I understand today that we have a responsibility to provide for our family. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 8, the Bible is very vehement with this. He says, if any man provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. By the way, provision for family, the needs of a family and the desires of a family can be two different things. We understand that. We understand necessity is different than those things that we just maybe want. But God tells us here that we are to provide for those things or we are worse than an infidel. So we have a responsibility to provide for our families. I believe also we have a responsibility to provide spiritually. Provide spiritually for our own lives. In other words, you and I ought to be what? Engrossed and engaged in the Word of God. If you and I are going to provide spiritually for our life, then we must, what, partake of this, His book. Again, in 2 Peter 1, verse 10 says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. In other words, we ought to take diligent heed to the spiritual life of our being. By the way, dads, that is a responsibility of your family as well. I mean, your responsibility to them. And we have this responsibility of physical and spiritual provision. However, brethren, anxious care in these areas is not trusting God to care in these areas. Consider those words. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and what? All these things shall be added unto you. So God wants you and I today to what? Put Him first, put His kingdom first. Though we do not shirk our responsibilities, but when we put God first, He will help us and make sure that those provisions are available. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He says, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Those things which you and I need. Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Let's understand, Paul is writing to the Philippians, who on a number of occasions had sent a missionary offering to him. By the way, this is really a chapter that deals with what we're going to be speaking of for several days on faith-promised missionary offering. It is a chapter that is talking about giving to the cause of those who are taking the Gospels in regions beyond. And as Paul was taking that Gospel into regions beyond, the Philippians sought opportunity to enter into those labors with him. Paul said to them, when he wrote to them, that he was very thankful for them. He says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. In other words, if you and I have entered into the life of a missionary, we have three coming next week, two we have put many dollars into their lives. We have helped put food on their table. Brother Ziner will be with us. Brother Casey will be with us. And for many years, we have done that in their lives. And so whatever they do for the cause of Christ, we have entered into that fruit with them. We have a part in that. When missionaries we support come and they show their slides and they say, boy, there's somebody that got saved on March 2006. Let's get it up to date. Amen. And say, that person got saved. Man, they're serving the Lord in church. And we look at that picture and we are spending money. We were praying for those people. What? We were a part of their ministry. That's what he's talking about here. Here was a people who had entered into that. They, on one occasion, we find in verse number 10, they did not have opportunity. Either they had run out of funds or they did not take the opportunity to send it to him. There was some reason for it. He said, you lacked opportunity. But now they have given again. And we find that this man Epaphroditus has brought that gift to them, and he's writing to them and thanking them. But he's saying something very important in the midst of that. And he's saying, it doesn't matter where I'm at financially. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have what? Learned where, whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Notice verse 12 again. I know both how to what? Be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both, to be full and to be hungry. Both to abound and to suffer need. And so God gives us here tremendous, tremendous teaching. We are to learn how to be content. Turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Timothy. If you've got your spot there, just turn back chapter number 6 with me. And I want to begin reading verse number 6. This kind of contentment, this kind of character, maybe I should say, must be learned. Notice verse number 6. But godliness with contentment is what, brethren? Great gain. We're talking about something here that is tremendously helpful to you and to me. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. We were born with nothing. When we go out, it'll be left. Okay? We use it in between. But it's not ours. By the way, we've been made stewards of it. Notice verse number 8. And having food and raiment, what? Let us be therewith content. Verse 9 says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation. They that will be rich, those who want to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in what? Destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. God wants us to be contented, but oftentimes we are living in anxiety. And we live in anxiety because we want so much. We desire so much. And how we need to learn. It is a tremendous gain to learn contentment. I understand something this morning. It is against our nature. It is not our nature. You'll find you put two little children together. One wants this. One wants the same thing. And they will fight over it. Do you realize that all wars and all problems between people is exactly right there? We fight over stuff. Yeah. The love of money is what? The root of all evil. And so we find ourselves in a position, it's against our nature. We want these things. We are selfish by nature. We are self-absorbed with providing for our fleshly desires. We want this, we want that. I could give you a list this morning of some things that I want. You have a want list, most likely. And you know, in America, we seem to propel this thing, especially at Christmas time, we walk up to somebody, what do you want? Sometimes my first thought is, what can you afford? You probably can't afford my wants. I've been told that we men are just little boys that have more expensive toys. Perhaps there's truth in that, but ladies, don't get too smug because I see the same thing in your lives as well. We are that kind of people. We have desires, and yet God wants us to learn something. Oh, how we need to be learners and not just hearers. How we need to learn this and allow God to teach this to us. And how He does it sometimes is in varied ways. Sometimes God teaches that by withholding. Sometimes God teaches that by giving us so much that we just get sick of it. Remember the Jews when they said, boy, we want some flesh. We've been eating this manna so long and we want something fleshly to eat. And so God said, okay. And He brought quail, one of the richest of meats. And I mean, they land there by the thousands. And they are eating this stuff till they're loathing it. And other times, God withheld. What is God doing? God is teaching. And how you and I need to learn and not just hear these things. As I speak this morning, I realize from the Word of God that upon the ears of God's people even, there are four kinds of hearers. We find the story of the parable of the sower, and as he sowed that seed upon the soil, there's four kinds of seed. As we note from that particular parable, there's one of those four that what receives that seed, and from that fruit comes forth. That teaches me that so often you and I are not very good hearers. Thank God if you're saved this morning, you heard the gospel and you believed it, and there is that fruit from that. But what about the rest of our Christian walk? What about in this area of contentment? Where are we at? Are we hearers or are we learners? I believe there's a couple of very prominent reasons that we do not really learn what God has for us. Because God wants to tell us and we slight what we hear. We formulate all of our arguments against it. Well, we hear the preacher and we hear the Bible and yet we say, well, you know, that's good for this person. And that will work in some instances, in some cases, but it just doesn't work here. And sometimes we are those who just so easily forget it. We put it out of our mind as soon as we hear it. We give it little credence in our lives. And yet the Word of God teaches us in Luke chapter 9, let these sayings sink down into your ears. Paul, as he wrote to Philippians, said, I have learned. I have learned. How did he learn? Well, as we go to the next statement there, we find out he had been abased, he had abounded. Somehow through the process of time, God had taught him to simply be happy with whatever it was God gave him. Too often we want to run ahead of God, do we not? Too often we want to do this and do that and do the other thing and get way ahead of Him. Too often we are learners and not hearers. Too often we're hearers and not learners. And too often we are talkers rather than learners. Too often we talk about all the things we are in Christ and we talk about being Christian, and yet in practice, we're very self-absorbed. Our life, by the way, as a Christian, ought to be wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. He ought to be the center of our life. The Lord said on one occasion, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. By the way, God does not want you to go possessionless. God does not intend for you to be hungry. God does not intend for you to walk about naked. God wants to take care of you. But God wants to do it His way, not our way. And so what Paul is saying here, I have learned to let God do it His way and to be content. There was an occasion Paul and Silas were thrown into a jail in the city of Philippi. And in that city, their hands were in stocks. They had been whipped that day, by the way, in violation of Roman law. And yet, what did they do at midnight? They sang praises unto God. Most of us wouldn't be singing, we'd be crying our eyes out. Most of us, we'd be complaining. We'd be calling for our lawyers. We'd be calling for this and that and the other thing. We'd be mad at God for allowing us, who had done all this work for God, to be placed in jail. But here they were singing. What happened? They had learned some things. Do you think Paul was ever in a position that you and I are in? Yes. He said, I've learned it. Do you think Paul had gone through some times whereby he was upset with God, where he's upset with the condition of his life, he was upset he didn't have? Yeah, I believe so. Because he says, I have learned. I have learned. It's a process that really, I believe, lasts throughout our entire lives. The Bible says, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. I think about that. God renews us after His image. And I think of the image of Christ, especially as I thought this morning, as we see the Lord Jesus Christ riding through Jerusalem upon that donkey. That donkey walking upon fig leaves that people have just pulled off the trees and their coats that they will pick up once again as He's passed. Riding on a donkey that He has borrowed. Sleeping in beds that were not His own. Matter of fact, He said the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man had not a place to lay His head. And every place He laid it, it was a borrowed one. Matter of fact, the tomb that they placed Him in was borrowed. And we are what? Hid in Christ. We are created in Him after His image. And that what is God has placed us in that position, yet we do not like that position. And we have to learn to be content where God has us. In other words, we really need to trust Him for our happiness. Allowing Him to provide for us in His time and in His way. I've had to learn that so many times through the years. And yet the lesson has not come home. I wish this morning I could say to you, listen, do as I do and think as I think. I wish somebody in this room could do the same, but I fear this morning that be not our case. But, oh, brethren, God wants to teach us. Are we willing to learn? Contentment is great gain mixed with godliness. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I believe this morning that there's an area we ought to be discontent in. I believe there's an area that we ought to perhaps be, if I can use the word, anxious in. And that is our service. Far too often we are very content with what we do for God, but discontented with what He does for us. The Apostle Paul on another occasion in Philippians, in chapter 3, in that verse number 14, he says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I'm not content with what I'm doing for Him. I have yet a job to do. I have yet a mission to fulfill. And only at death or the coming of our Savior will that contentment be completely fulfilled. We ought to be discontent in our service, but content in the provision He has given to us. Oh, how we ought to thank God for the salvation that is ours. It is so rich and so free, and God has provided for that, provided that to you and to me for free. You don't have to labor for it. You don't have to do a thing for it. It is a gift of God to be received. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Salvation is simply God providing something for you and for me. I've had people say to me, "Preacher, well, that's what you believe and that's fine for you, but I believe that I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do the other thing." Well, good luck. Because if you're going to take that road, there's only one thing that you can do to gain heaven's glory. And that is to be absolutely perfect, and you've already messed it up because you came to an imperfect church this morning. You are sitting with a bunch of imperfect people, and you blew it. We cannot do that. Thank God for the provision He's made that. Oh, by the way, Christian, isn't it a wonderful thing that He is the one who sanctifies us? You say, what in the world does that word mean? Well, it simply means be set apart. God is the one who what prepares us and makes us able to do the job that is there. As a Christian, we don't have to grunt and try and really groan at this thing. All we got to do is, Spirit of God, here I am, use me. And He wants to do that. And God wants to work through us. That is His desire. And so you and I today, we have and ought to be content with the provision of sanctification. We ought to be content with the sustenance that He allows us. I've told this story before, but there's two main snacks that I like. Some people like potato chips. I'm not real big on potato chips. Oreo cookies are pretty good, and Q says buy all kinds of them. Keebler's are all right, too. Danny, we love ice cream. Do we have any other ice creamaholics in here besides Danny and me? Sarah? You are? Denise, serious?
I love ice.
I've got to go on. Some of you are like me. I love ice cream. They don't like me so well anymore. But I like it. My favorite is Butterbrickle. Not too many companies make it. Buttercrunch is all right, but Butterbrickle. Ooh, I love that stuff. I was weaned on Butterbrickle ice cream. That's why I like it. Okay? But I have another one. Oh, by the way, have you bought any half gallons of Butterbrickle ice cream lately? Expensive. You know those 25-cent malts you used to buy when you was a kid? Yeah. Q told me that this summer they went to a thing in New York City and a guy came back with a Coke he paid $10 for. I went to the Mac Center one night and they said $4. I said, last time I got held up, they used a gun. Ice cream's expensive. There was a period in my life that, seriously, there wasn't enough money to buy ice cream, but just every now and then. You know what God did for me? He gave me a great liking for popcorn. Nowadays, there's microwave popcorn that you can spend a fortune on. But in those days, you got in a great big bag, and this stuff would last forever. And so every night it was one of my kids, go buy me some popcorn. I did it myself sometimes, but they did a better job. And oh, by the way, ice cream bowls that you folks fill up, those little cereal bowls, they're not good. Serving dishes are better. Amen, Danny? And I've gone to folks' home, they give me a little bowl of popcorn like this, and I say thank you, amen. But I eat it out of the serving bowl. I'm trying to illustrate something. God gave me, somehow through that period of time, a contentment with something else. And that simple little thing of ice cream and popcorn was one of the lessons that God was trying to teach me to learn contentment. Well, I could tell you many, many things. I'm still a learner. But all that we might listen. That we might listen. He said, well, preacher, I'm so poor, I have nothing. By the way, you realize that most rich folks are wanting so much more because they are feeling the very same way. The problem, whether you're rich or poor, is in the heart. It's not in the pocketbook. It's in the heart. And Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be what? Content. Oh, we might learn it. To our young people, I was looking around a while ago, I counted the young people in here, some around 20 in teen class, teen group, teen age, I should say. And I'm saying to you guys, learn it now. This business, I've got to have the newest iPod, I've got to have the newest this, I've got to have the newest that, I've got to have this, I've got to have that. It will destroy your life if you don't get a handle on it now. I'm not saying anything wrong with it. Some of you might have noticed, I pulled one out of my pocket a while ago. I was looking at my calendar because I wanted to check a date. Because I wanted to tell you, we have graduation for our senior and our awards night on May the 13th. And I finally remember to tell you. Nothing wrong with stuff. But there can be something wrong with our attitude toward it. Letting God do what He's going to do. You're not going to get ahead of Him anyways. And all it does is bring frustration. I have learned. Oh, I wish I would have learned earlier what I've learned now. I wish what I may learn yet in the future, I would know now in this area. The worry we put ourselves through isn't worth it. Amen. I'm glad today I don't have to worry about where I'm going when I die. It's been settled. I'm glad I don't need to worry about how am I going to do this. In the power of the Spirit, it can be done. It can be done. By the way, did you notice that verse? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Do you know what he's talking about? He's talking about being content. Father, today work in our hearts. Bless, oh God. Lord, an area all of us have struggled in and do. Lord, an area that all of us need to learn. God, I pray today that you would somehow open our hearts and minds to your teaching. And all those things that you bring our way to teach us that we might learn it. Lord, somehow help us to see that. Help us to understand it. Oh God, forgive us. We have been so anxious. Lord, probably most of us like Martha. We're not like Mary who sat contented at your feet, but concerned about all the things of life. Oh God, I pray you'll work in our hearts. Bless these moments, oh God. Pray for your people especially. We might be willing to give ourselves unto your wondrous leadership in all areas of our lives. Lord, bless these moments of invitation. No doubt you've tugged upon some hearts. No doubt, oh God, you've dealt with some of us. Lord, cause response to be made. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.